met her in the nursery on Easter Sunday, Karen said to her, "I want to introduce you to your pastor." I didn't even see a wince. I didn't see any of that says, "Oh, it's gas." She was... Isn't she adorable? We're going to sing "Praise Him, Praise Him, All Ye Little Children, God Is Love" for her. I want to thank you, Karen, for allowing this church to surround little Amanda. It's a great privilege and not one that we take lightly. So thank you.
Oh, how he loves.
Father, the greatest thing of all is that we love because you first loved us. We wouldn't know how to love except for we see your love. We have no clue how to expend it to others, how to receive it ourselves, unless we see it first in your face and in your hands. Oh God, we saw it in your hands. We saw it as they pierced through. Love pierced the darkness of our lives, the pain of our world, the misunderstanding of our minds, and love made a way where nothing else could. Father, and I pray, Lord Jesus, your blessing on your word today, your word. It is holy. It is that which you honor. And I ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that the love of God, where it may be vacant in any life here, would flood their soul. Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I will ask, as long as people can stay in the service, that would be great. Love's heavy burden. I'm going to read this scripture first. Proverbs 30. This is a portion of scripture that I actually share for those that are going to get married because of one portion in it. But it actually has relevance to everybody. Did you know women need love, men need respect, right? We know that. Okay? But did you also know that because we are part of the body of Christ, therefore we are the bride of Christ, men and women need the love of God? How many know that men need love? Now, it may be under their dirty socks, they're hiding it, but it's there. Okay? We know that. Because it is love that brings us to life. So I want everyone to listen. This is not just for the ladies. This is for everybody. Proverbs 30, 21 to 23. Please stand if you can to honor the word of God. Under three things the earth trembles, and under four it cannot bear up. First one, a servant who becomes king. Second, a fool who is full of food. Three, an unloved woman who is married, and a maidservant who displaces her mistress. Three things, but under four, it cannot bear itself. You may be seated. What an honor it was today to dedicate little Amanda to the presence of Almighty God. The last time I think we had a dedication here, Pastor Dennis is the one who actually officiated because I wasn't official yet. So actually, Amanda's the first baby I've ever dedicated, just so you know. So she's a real treasure. Because her name means deserving of love, worthy of love, and having to be loved, it is the basis of the message today. So Amanda has her first speaking gig, even though she can't speak yet. She's already inspiring messages. This is a very powerful portion of scripture. Specifically, I will tell you the part here, an unloved woman who is married. Do you know what happens if you're married to somebody? It can be on either side, but typically it's the woman, but it can be the man. Somebody who doesn't feel loved, now that doesn't mean you aren't loved. It means you don't feel it, okay? Doesn't mean you're not. When a person doesn't feel loved, there isn't anything anybody can do to change it. Not anything. It has to come from Christ. That's the love that has to be there. And sometimes, because of what happens in our life, and it's typically when we're younger, but it can be any time, it starts to corrode the things that do build love. And it's an empty vacuum, and girls in particular are looking for some man, somebody, to fill that void and make them feel valued. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. God brings two people together. But very often, or at least sometimes, women of all ages, and men, but particularly women, are looking for a man to do something only Christ can do. And that puts a lot of pressure on men. Are the men going to say amen or not? You will eventually. So I want to talk about this, because this portion here about under four it cannot bear up, a servant who becomes king, a fool who is full of food, an unloved woman who is married, and a maidservant who displaces her mistress. The issue in this whole portion is saying an individual, not that you can't become the head of a house, it's not that you can't eat, it's not that people don't become kings in different classes of society. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about somebody that is so wounded in their life that any position they get won't be good enough. Any position won't be good enough. So first of all, under. You're under it. How can you tell if in your life you don't feel loved? How can you tell? Well, if you're under it. In this portion, as it talks about these things, it says under four, it cannot bear up. Under is the Hebrew word tachath, and it means to be underneath, to be below something. It means to be under authority and subject to. There's also another meaning, oppressed or being burdened, which I believe basically comes out of that feeling underneath something. Now, how many know that scripturally submission is voluntarily? It's voluntary, right? That's what it is. You choose to yield to leadership. You choose to yield to the authorities. You choose to yield to your supervisor at work. That's what it is. You're supposed to choose it. But in this case, when you're underneath something, you don't feel like you have a choice. How many have ever been in a relationship where you've said and thought, I don't really feel like I have a choice? That can indicate in your life that there's a sense somewhere where there's a lack of love. It's important to remember, of course, in marriage that the woman came from Adam. But remember, when God created Adam, the Bible said, God created them, male and female created he them, when he was talking about Adam. So it's not like she was a new creation after Adam was created. He brought her out, God brought her out, to see what was already inside him. And she wasn't created from his head, so she's not better than he is, contrary to some of the women's liberation stuff. She's not under his foot. She's not beneath him. Should never feel devalued. She was created out of the side. Not out of the ribs, by the way. Unless you have some very good sauce, it ain't there. It's out of the side, where you can walk by and help each other. Even in church life or in Christian life, did you know that your children have the same equal value before God that you do? It's your position in this life as a parent, spouse, whatever the case, that adjusts that position, but it doesn't change the fact that you're all equally valuable. And that's important to keep in mind. If you have any sense in your life that you've been unloved, you will feel under others' control. You'll feel like you have no choice in life. You'll feel very tight in some of those ways. Second thing, under three things, the earth trembles. There's a trembling that happens. There's a shaking that happens when a person feels unloved. The quaking is when you feel unloved, nothing is sure beneath your feet. And you have a tendency, every issue is a potential threat to your safety. and to your peace of mind. You have a sense, nothing is secure, so you can find yourself grasping at things to hang on to something because you're afraid that your peace and everything you know is going to fall apart. Shaking, this is an interesting word in the Hebrew, rakaz. One of the parts of it, the beginning part, is raw, W, when it's pronounced, it's R-A-W, rakaz. Did you know that if you don't sense God's love or the love of those in your life, and you just sense it, you don't sense it at all, you're one of those people that has a very raw, vulnerable part in your life, and everything that clips against it feels very painful. That's another way you can tell. This word, by the way, means to be agitated, to quiver, to quake, be perturbed. It also has a sense of excitement. But think about an earthquake, and they just had another one in Japan, by the way, 6.3. They had another 6.3 the other day. They look for the epicenter of an earthquake to determine it. Do you know that more damage occurs at the epicenter than anywhere else along the fault lines? That's where the greatest damage is. And so the epicenter is right above where the fault line begins to rupture. And that's where the greater damage is. And usually, it's something you can determine in life. For instance, we'll just say somebody is a rapist. I'll use that as an example. 9 times out of 10, probably a higher percent. The damage in the life of that individual, you could trace it back to the center where a fault line broke apart, where something cracked in his life or her life, where probably they were abused themselves. And it put a crack in the foundation of their life. And everything in life, that's the way they see things, because that's what's happened to them. When you've been abused as a young person, when you've been verbally abused or ignored or whatever the case might be, our eyes, that's how we see life then. We see it through the goggles and the spectacles of the disruption to our life. And I can guarantee you, you could be one of those people and not even know it, because it's hidden under shame or hidden under, we just don't want to think about it. But it's important for God to bring it to light so it can be healed and to move forward, because it'll always be an epicenter and it will always move out from that center. Why do you think very often in life people continue same behaviors? Even if they're not doing this one, they're probably doing one similar, because that fault line is still ruptured. It's still open. It needs to be taken care of. And for that matter, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, what's the first thing they recognized? Their sexuality. They knew they were naked. That's a very powerful thing in life. And if you've been abused or you've had any kind of assault on your life or in your mind, it affects the way you see yourself, it affects the way you see other people, it affects the way you see God, it affects the way you see the world, and it probably affects the way you see the future, because you don't see one. So it is very powerful. This is why, by the way, we need to put Jesus at the center, the epicenter of our lives and of our hurts and everything in our life. Because anything that can be shaken, he cannot be shaken. He will hold us, right? He can keep us. I don't care how deep that fault line is, folks. Jesus can heal anything. And there's no question about it. How can you tell if you feel unloved? You're underneath the control of someone else or some experience of your past. Everything that shakes makes you nervous. And it begins to make you feel a lack of peace in your life. And you have difficulty in relationships. Third one, love eludes that individual. Not because it's not there, but because of all the other underlying things. Now, the Hebrew word here, it looks like the word sane. But when you feel unloved, there's a sort of insanity that's with it, in a sense that it affects your thinking, your mindset. And somebody can tell you all day long, you know, I love you, I care about you, and they'll look right in your face and say, no, you don't. Why? It has nothing to do with your relationship. It has to do with that epicenter that's adjusted your foundation, where you walk and how you live. And so this word actually pronounced sane. Keep that in mind, because the first three letters of that pronunciation are sa. The way we see ourselves, the way we see God, is affected by this. So, you might think, well, what does that have to do with me? I'm 100 years old. You're an eternal being, folks. And anything that has disrupted your life emotionally, physically, any way in the past that's not been healed and not been discovered, not to hurt you, but to bring healing, it will continue to tear your life. Remember when we had this little lovely pothole out here? It started to spread. And it was going under. It looked like a pannekuchen, except it wasn't very appetizing. It only spreads out. It doesn't go in. God wants it to be filled. He's the only one that can fill it, right? Because he is the face of love, and we know that. So when you think it doesn't have anything to do with you, I want to remind you that I think I shared this a couple years ago regarding the crucifixion of Christ, that in the wrist, which is where the nails would have went to hold the weight, there's a tendon that goes all the way up to the shoulder. And because we could not work our way to God, because we could not receive his love in our natural state, because of that, it was connected to the shoulder. Jesus bore our sins. He carried our sorrows. And he carries us to this day as a shepherd. It looks like it's not connected to the shoulder, but it is. You can have a problem in your foot, and the problem can be in the neck, and vice versa. It looks disjuncted, but it isn't. It's very connected. Why? Because you're one body, and your body is connected to each other. So this word, sane, means to personally hate. Did you know the opposite of love is not hate? It's indifference. Because if you hate somebody, you probably loved them or cared about them at one time, and they hurt you. And it turned into hate. If you have hate, you have feelings. You're not indifferent. You have a real opinion. Not positive at that point, but you have an opinion. Hate reveals the weight of love that has been dashed in our life at whatever point. And you may not remember it up here, but I can guarantee you it went deep into your soul. Because that's where it goes. Finally, it says, it cannot bear up under these four things. The earth cannot hold it. The word bear, it's not Smokey the Bear. Okay? The Hebrew word nasa. That's where you get NASA. To lift off, to soar into space. If you or if I have any sense of being unloved in our life, you will be grounded. You will not be able to lift off. You will not be able to lift off relationships. You will not be able to feel like you have any value because you are plugged into the ground. And God wants to release that. Absolutely. Amanda's going to speak to us again. What did we do to deserve the love of God? Nothing. What did we do wrong that would undo that love? Nothing. But in this world, you do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, wince the wrong way. Of course, in today's world, you could get your head shot off. But not in God's world. He's the one that has to provide that love and that foundation of life. So everything we build on it, including marriage, including life and future, has stability. That's what we want, stability. What did we deserve? Nothing. We deserve hell. God gave us himself. But let me go back to what Angela said, which I stole without any. I didn't even ask her. The seedlings are safe in the house. Doesn't matter what's happened to you in your life or what you've done. The seedlings are safe when they're surrendered to Christ. And the Lord will open the other things up so he can heal them. That's why he wants to open them. He doesn't want to shame you. He knows we're already under that. He wants to free us. And to be honest, you could be a person on the board. You could be just walking in the door and still have a sense of not being loved. If you feel underneath it, if you feel you have no choice in life, if you feel when things get shaky, you get really nervous and you just aren't sure. Any situation in life can change how you feel about yourself or about God. There's a little problem with the foundation. Love eludes people when they think their whole life is spreading out like that. God wants to heal it. God wants to restore it, so I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. First of all, I'm going to ask you, just because I want to know for prayer, for my personal prayer time for you, nobody's looking, absolutely nobody's looking for this one, okay? If you're here today and you've ever been verbally, sexually abused, it can be when you were really young. It could be something, but maybe the Lord's triggered something in your heart, and it seems like it might be. A lot of this sounds like you. I want you to raise your hand so I can pray for you and keep you in prayer. Okay? This is really important because the devil likes secrets, and he likes to stay in the darkness. But we're coming out in the light. He is in the light. And that's where our fellowship is. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for every hand that was raised today. Lord, they are not raised to glorify the devil because he has tried to destroy them. I pray, Lord, for every fault line that has been broken. I pray from the youngest to the eldest. I pray, Lord, from whatever the circumstances may be, and that each one that raised their hand would feel safe to tell somebody they really trust just to get it out of them. Lord, to let the light shine in that dark place. And so, God, you can fill that hole with yourself, with your love and your tenderness. Oh, God, we don't have to convince you to love us. You loved us before we were born, before we were created. That's your nature. And I ask, Father, in Jesus' name today, that your love would just fill this place and flow in and out of each one. Father God, like they've never experienced before, may you, Lord Jesus, be lifted up and exalted through every life. And we bind the powers of darkness, and we bind the lies of Satan, and plead the blood of Jesus over every life and over every family for truth to come, Lord, but also grace and truth. How we need the grace. The truth without grace is punishment. Grace without truth is a good feeling, but we need them both. Father, balance your work in the hearts of your people. Father, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And as we sing this last song, if you need prayer, if you want prayer, you can come up and pray by yourself. You can indicate you want someone to pray with you. But don't leave an open wound. Let the Lord touch you if you're here, okay? No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Why don't you stand?
I would love to tell. tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so blind as he. No one found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me. Jesus, there's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you do care tenderly for us. You're not repulsed by us, even when we don't think too much of ourselves. Your love, that's the excitement. You can't wait to bless us. You can't wait to bring us, Lord, into the place you've already prepared us for. You're not the stumbling block. We are. And I pray, Lord Jesus, today that you would take that word, not as a battering ram, but as one that would lift up, wipe off the tears, heal the hurts, and not allow the enemy to use it for any much longer at all. His work, he's done, he's finished. The work of God continues on. Father, I pray, Lord Jesus, your blessing upon each life. May we know the holy hush of God and his love for us, so we can never say again, I feel unloved. I pray you'd restore every marriage, every relationship, every family relationship. God, that you would be glorified throughout the chain of our life. Bless this food that has been prepared. Lord, may you also be glorified in the fellowship and the sharing together, Lord, in the family of God. Father, and I thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You're all invited. Patrick said you could stay. If you have a walker or anything, go first. And make sure that nobody takes seconds unless all the servers get some food as well. But God bless you. Go eat.